This is the last part of the last chapter of Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. Nobody at Hogwarts now knew the truth of what had happened that night except Sirius. Oh, sorry. What had happened the night that Sirius, Buckbeak, and Pettigrew had vanished except Harry, Ron, Hermione, and Professor Dumbledore. As the end of the term approached, Harry heard many different theories about what really happened, and none of them came close to the truth. Malfoy was really furious about Buckbeak. He was convinced that Hagrid had found a way of smuggling the Hippogriff to safety, and seemed outraged that he and his father had been outwitted by a gamekeeper. Percy Weasley, meanwhile, had much to say on the subject of Sirius's escape. "If I manage to get into the Ministry, I'll have a lot of proposals about magical law enforcement," he told the only person who would listen.
Penelope Clearwater.
His girlfriend, Penelope Clearwater. Though the weather was perfect, and though the atmosphere was so cheerful, and though he knew that they had achieved the near impossible in helping Sirius to freedom, Harry had never approached the end of the term in some worse spirits. He certainly wasn't the only one who was sorry to see Professor Lupin go. The whole of Harry's Defense Against the Dark Arts class was miserable about his resignation. "Wonder what they'll give us next year," said Seamus Finnegan gloomily.
"Oh my god, you don't want to know, Seamus. It's going to be real bad."
"Maybe a vampire," suggested Dean Thomas. It wasn't only Professor Lupin's departure that was weighing on Harry's mind. He couldn't help but thinking a lot about Professor Trelawney's prediction. He kept wondering where Pettigrew was now, whether he had sought sanctuary with Voldemort yet. But the thing that was lowering Harry's spirits most of all was the prospect of returning to the Dursleys.
Yeah, he wants to be with Sirius.
For maybe a half an hour, a glorious half hour, he had believed that he'd be living with Sirius from now on, his parents' best friend. It would have been the next best thing to having his own father back. And while no news of Sirius was definitely good news, because it meant he had successfully gone into hiding, Harry couldn't help feeling miserable when he thought of home, of the home he might have had, and the fact that it was now impossible. The exam results came out on the last day of the term. Harry, Ron, and Hermione had passed every subject. Harry was amazed that he had got through potions. He had a shrewd suspicion that Dumbledore might have stepped in to stop Snape from failing him on purpose. Snape's behavior toward Harry over the past week had been quite alarming. Harry wouldn't have thought it possible that Snape's dislike for him could increase, but it certainly had. A muscle twitched unpleasantly at the corner of Snape's thin mouth every time he looked at Harry, and he was constantly flexing his fingers as though itching to place them around Harry's throat.
Okay, wait. We have to pause for a second and talk about...
Should we pause the movie?
No.
Okay.
So, doesn't Snape, like... What is the deal again? Like, he loved Harry's mother?
Yeah.
And... So, like, that's why
he... No, so he loved Harry's mother, but he hated Harry's dad.
Stepfather.
And he looks a lot like his dad, and he's acting like his dad a lot, right?
Okay. He has his mom's eyes.
But he has his mom's
eyes. But why does he hate him so much?
His dad?
Because, no, I mean, Harry, like, because he wishes he had had a kid with his mother?
Partially, yeah, I would imagine. Also, I think it's that he really hates the fact that Harry's so popular and so famous without doing much, and he resents the fact because Harry doesn't work hard at all. And he's not even that good of a wizard, like we talked about, right?
Right, he's just lucky.
Yeah, and Snape knows that. I mean, maybe he shouldn't fail potions, but he's not exactly the best, you know, in this class or any of his classes.
Mm-hmm.
And Snape really doesn't like that he sort of coasts by. Because Snape worked really hard.
But he doesn't like Hermione either.
He doesn't like Hermione because she's not very talented. She just works really hard.
She's talented.
She's pretty talented, but she's
really
not...
really smart is the thing. Like,
right.
And, like, that is, like, equal to talent, kind of.
I think the thing is that she is very good at, like, book learning, but she's not so good at... She doesn't have intuition about magic. You know, remember when Harry finds the book, Snape's book, later? Half-Blood Prince?
Mm-mm.
You remember the potions book that Snape had? That tells of all the secrets of potions.
Mm-mm. I don't remember that.
Really?
Yeah.
So later on, like in the Half-Blood Prince, right? So anyways, apparently Snape, he had his old potions book when he was taking the class, but...
And he had, like, ideas of how to do things.
He corrected all the potions, you know, made them slightly better, changed some ingredients around, and always they were very well done. Like, they greatly helped.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing that Snape was really good at. He had his intuition about potions, mm-hmm. and he was also really good at experimenting, you'd imagine, mm-hmm. you know? And that's the kind of thing that you can't read from books, because the people that do that are the ones that write the books, exactly. right?
Mm-hmm.
So Hermione doesn't seem to have that.
She's really good. But who does Snape like, then?
Well, it's not clear.
And why did he like Harry's mother?
Yeah, she's probably pretty.
Well, yeah, but I mean, what else? He could have resented her for that same reason, but he liked her.
I know.
Wasn't she nice to him?
Yeah, I think it was also that she was nice to him when everyone else was mean to
right.
him.
Right.
Like, look, the two things together, for a kid, for like a 12-year-old kid who's being teased, you know.
Mm-hmm. Poor Snape. I always feel really bad for him, but I wish he wasn't such a dick, but then...
I know.
Because then, like, people wouldn't be as mean to him.
I know.
Okay. Anyway, moving on.
Moving on.
But also, there's something that happens at the end with Snape. Where, like, something comes out about his relationship with Harry, and I forget what it was. What is that?
Well, he's also been protecting him
right.
along the way.
Right.
Right, like, you know, he's trying to protect him.
From the Dementors.
From the Dementors.
Something about the broom when...
Yeah, in the first one, when Quirrell
right,
is saying
right.
the little thing,
mm-hmm.
he's the one protecting him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he knows, that's part of the thing, he knows he has to protect Harry, and he also sort of hates it. You know, that must make it worse, right?
I guess, yeah.
As the Hogwarts Express pulled out of the station the next morning, Hermione gave Harry and Ron some surprising news. I just went to see Professor McGonagall this morning, just before breakfast. I've decided to drop Muggle studies. But you passed your exam with 320%, said Ron. I know, sighed Hermione. How can you? No one gives that much extra. Anyways, but I can't stand another year like this one. That time turner, it was driving me mad. I've handed it in. Without Muggle studies and divination, I'll be able to have a normal schedule again. I still can't believe you didn't tell us about it, said Ron grumpily. We're supposed to be your friends. I promised I wouldn't tell anyone, said Hermione severely. She looked around at Harry. Who was watching Hogwarts disappear
okay,
from
Okay, wait
view.
A minute. Let's just have another discussion about Hermione dropping Muggle studies. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, she really, like, couldn't get 320% by not putting any work into that class? Bullshit. There's still, like, she could totally pass that class with her eyes closed because she was raised by
Muggles.
I know. And divination, like...
But maybe Muggle studies, they learn about how wizards feel
about. She does, but, like, when she, like, have... Like, there she would be able to have
right.
intuition
would,
and,
yeah.
like...
It would be really easy.
Yeah. And, like, divination, she probably got behind in a lot of her work because of divination.
Yeah.
She was trying to, like...
Well, she should have dropped divination right away.
Right, exactly, but that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, if she just had the Muggle studies and that was the only thing that was giving her an overloaded schedule,
yeah.
then it wouldn't be that big of a deal. And
or,
she should just tell Professor McGonagall that she needs to use it for, like, 2 extra hours...
To do homework.
Yeah.
I know, it's so stupid. Or more.
Or more. Whatever.
Why not use it for
five extra hours? Yeah.
Do a couple hours of homework and then sleep for 3 hours.
Seriously,
ridiculous. Alright. Anyways, so Harry's watching Hogwarts disappear from view behind a mountain. 2 whole months before he'd see it again. Oh, cheer up, Harry, said Hermione sadly. I'm okay, said Harry quickly. Just thinking about the holidays. Yeah, I've been thinking about them too, said Ron. Harry, you've got to come and stay with us. Sorry. I'll fix it up with Mum and Dad, then I'll call you. I know how to use a Felitone now. A telephone, Ron, said Hermione. Honestly, you should take Muggle studies next year. Sorry.
Jesse is scratching me with his talon-like feet.
They're not talon-like, and it's...
You need a pedicure.
And you need a pedicure.
I do need a pedicure. I would love to
do
have
really?
A pedicure.
Ron ignored her. It's the Quidditch World Cup this summer. How about it, Harry? Come and stay, and we'll go and see it. Dad usually can get tickets from work. This proposal had the effect of cheering Harry up a great deal. Yeah, I'll bet the Dursleys would be pleased to let me come, especially after what I did to Aunt Marge. Feeling considerably more cheerful, Harry joined Ron and Hermione in several games of Exploding Snap, and when the witch with the tea card arrived, he bought himself a very large lunch, though nothing with chocolate in it. He's probably sick of it. I wouldn't be sick of it, though.
I wouldn't either.
But it was late in the afternoon before the thing that made him truly happy turned up. Harry, said Hermione suddenly, peering over his shoulder, what's that thing outside your window?
An owl.
Harry turned to look outside. Something very small and gray was bobbing in and out of sight behind the glass. He stood up for a better look and saw that it was a tiny owl carrying a letter that was much too big for it. The owl was so small, in fact, that it kept tumbling over the air, buffeting this way and that in the train's slipstream. Harry quickly pulled down the window, stretched out his arm, and caught it. It felt like a very fluffy snitch. He brought it inside carefully. I know. The owl dropped the letter onto Harry's seat and began zooming around their compartment, apparently very pleased with itself for accomplishing its task. Hedwig clicked her beak with a sort of dignified disapproval. Crookshank sat up in his seat, following the owl with his great yellow eyes. Ron, noticing this, snatched the owl safely out of harm's way. Harry picked up the letter. It was addressed to him. He ripped it open and shouted, "It's from Sirius."
That was dumb.
What? Said Ron and Hermione excitedly. Read it aloud.
I like that we're drinking that alcohol like water.
I know. Dear Harry, should I read in Sirius's accent or Harry's accent? Or no Sirius's. One's?
It okay. Doesn't matter.
Dear Harry.
Never mind, don't do that. I'm not such a fan of Sirius.
Really? Well, he was like, he hadn't spoken for 15 years.
I know. You know. He could be like, "Dear Harry," or that's more no, Snape.
His voice would be hoarse. If you haven't spoken, all right, whatever. I'll just read it in normal.
Why would
voice.
It be hoarse if you haven't used it for 15 years? Wouldn't it be like ready to go?
No, it'll be crackly.
Why?
You want to practice? Imagine if you didn't sing for 15 years and then all of a sudden you tried
that's
to sing.
That's different.
How?
Because it takes different muscles to sing than it does to talk.
Well, right, and those muscles you wouldn't have used for 15 years.
Okay.
Dear Harry, I hope this finds you well before you reach your aunt and uncle.
That's good. He's recovered now.
Yeah. I'll give him a nice British accent. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Dear Harry, I hope this finds you before you reach your aunt and uncle. I don't know whether they're used to owl posts. Buckbeak and I are in hiding. I won't tell you where, in case this owl falls into the wrong hands. I have some doubt about his reliability, but he's the best I could find, and he did seem eager for the job. Sorry. Job. I believe the Dementors are still searching for me, but they haven't a hope of finding me here. I'm planning to allow some muggles to glimpse me soon, a long way from Hogwarts, so that the security on the castle will be lifted. There is something I never got around to telling you during our brief meeting. It was I who sent the firebolt. Ha! Said Hermione triumphantly. See, I told you it was from him. Yes, but he hadn't jinxed it, had he? Said Ron. Ouch! The tiny owl, now hooting happily in his hand, had nibbled one of his fingers in what it seemed to think was an affectionate way. Crookshanks took the order to the owl office for me. I used your name, but told them to take the gold from my Gringotts vault. Please consider it as 13 birthdays worth of presents from your godfather. Isn't he already rich, I mean Harry, from his parents?
Harry,
doesn't he have like a fortune?
He's not like rich, but he's like comfortable. Whereas, like, Ron's family
Ron,
is,
you know,
like, they're just dumb. Like, seriously, why would you have that many kids if you can't feed them all? That's ridiculous.
They can feed them all, they just have to sacrifice a little bit. They clearly can feed them all. They just can't live in luxury.
Yeah.
I agree with you, if you can't feed your kids, you shouldn't have that many kids.
But I also think that, like, if you live in the wizarding world, like, how can you not be rolling in money? This is ridiculous.
I mean, you could do tricks for, Well, they get wizarding gold, so you're what are you gonna do? I would also like to apologize for the fright I think I gave you that night last year when you left your uncle's house. I had only hoped to get a glimpse of you before starting my journey north, and I think the sight of me alarmed you. I'm enclosing something else for you, which I think will make your next year at Hogwarts more enjoyable. If you ever need me, send word. Your owl will find me.
How? They're magic.
That's the answer for everything. I'll write again soon, Sirius. Harry looked eagerly inside the envelope.
Wouldn't he take both pieces? I always find both right away. Like, if there's a check or something, mm-hmm. you'll always find that right away.
Oh, well, yes.
There was another piece of parchment in there. He read it through quickly and felt suddenly as warm and contented as though he'd swallowed a bottle of hot butter beer in one gulp. It read, I, Sirius Black, Harry Potter's godfather, hereby give him permission to visit Hogsmeade on weekends.
You!
That'll be good enough for Dumbledore, said Harry happily. He looked back at Sirius's letter. Hang on, there's a P.S. I thought your friend Ron might like to keep this owl, as it's my fault he no longer has a rat. Ron's eyes widened. The minute owl was still hooting excitedly.
So cute!
Keep him, he said uncertainly. He looked closely at the owl for a moment. Then, to Harry and Hermione's surprise, he held him out for Cruikshanks to sniff. What do you reckon? Ron asked the cat. Definitely an owl. Cruikshanks purred. That's good enough for me, said Ron happily. He's mine. Harry read and reread the letter from Sirius all the way back to King's Cross Station. It was still clutched tightly in his hand as he, Ron, and Hermione stepped back through the barrier on platform 9 3/4. Harry spotted Uncle Vernon at once. He was standing a good distance from Mr. and Mrs. Weasley, eyeing them suspiciously, and when Mrs. Weasley hugged Harry in greeting, his worst suspicions about them seemed confirmed. I'll call about the World Cup, Ron yelled at Harry, as Harry bid him and Hermione goodbye. Then Ron wheeled the trolley bearing his trunk and Hedwig's... Then Harry wheeled the trolley bearing his trunk and Hedwig's cage toward Uncle Vernon, who greeted him in the usual fashion. What's that? He snarled, staring at the envelope Harry was still clutching in his hand. If it's another form for me to sign, you've got another. It's not, said Harry cheerfully. It's a letter from my godfather. Godfather? Sputtered Uncle Vernon. You haven't got a godfather. Yes, I have, said Harry brightly. He's my mum and dad's best friend. He's a convicted murderer, but he's broken out of wizard prison and he's on the run. He likes to keep in touch with me, though. Keep up with my news. Check if I'm happy. And, grinning broadly at the look of horror on Uncle Vernon's face, Harry set off toward the station exit, Hedwig rattling along in front of him, for what looked like a much better summer than the last. And that's the end of Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. And now we get to watch it.
Yay! Okay.
And I hope you liked that, my boo. It's okay. And for listening to this later, I love you so much. And you will sleep well, because you are the cutest girl in the world. I love you.
I love you too.